Good morning, how is everybody this morning? I said, good morning, how is everybody this morning? You had an extra hour to rest, you should be charged and ready to go, amen?
Amen.
Let's get around the front this morning and begin to bless God. But before we even start to sing, before the music even really starts to get going, the Word instructs us to open our heart and begin to praise God from inside of us. The Bible talks about us giving a sacrifice of praise. That's our very best praise. That's the unblemished praise. Amen.
Yeah.
So let's get there where we go, God. This I purpose this day to be about you, God. Not what I can receive from you, but what I can give you. Father, we come into your house this morning, God, prepared and ready to bless you, God. I pray that anything that would distract us from giving you glory and honor, God, we would lay at the altar this morning, God. We would lay it aside, Father. We would open our hearts and we would come with a purpose, God, that we are going to praise you for who you are. For who you are, first of all, God. Then we will begin to praise you for what you have done. So this morning, God, we come to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. I said, there is a miracle, it's in this room, with my name on it. Do you need a miracle this morning? There is a healing in this room. I said it's in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough. I said there's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Said there is a miracle, and it is in this room. And if you're in need of it, it's got your name on it. There is a healing. There's a healing in this. There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got David's name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Church, I want you to do that with me. We're gonna put a praise on it. One more time, let's say it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, let's do that together this morning. Let's bless God and give Him praise. If you need something this morning, put the praise on it before it even gets to you this morning. Put the praise on it in a prophetical sense. Amen. Come on, sing it with me.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room. It's got my name on it.
I'm gonna put a praise.
let's put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I'm gonna praise him this morning. Hallelujah. You get it yet? You get it yet? Listen. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and this is incredible if we really get it. The Bible says that we are able to give up all of our junk, get rid of everything that is nasty for God's goodness and mercy, amen? And so you know what? Sometimes we come into church, we come into the service, we wait for something special to happen, but the special happens before we even get to church. The special has already happened. And so we come through the door and we come to a place where we go, God, it's all about you. It's all about what you've already done. That doesn't mean that you see what he's done, because you may not see what he has already done. But he has already done it. He's already working on our behalf. I taught at a men's retreat this weekend. I taught out of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And the Bible says, it's my favorite verse of scripture. He said, David, I know the plans that I have for you. I have plans, it said, not of evil, not of harm, but to do good and to give you an expected end. That's a blessed hope, amen? So just because I know his plans are already to bless me, I can't do anything but put a praise on what's coming, amen? It may not be here today, but it could be coming tomorrow. So I'm going to get ahead, and I'm already going to thank God, amen? Sing it with me, there is a miracle in this room. There's a miracle
in this room with my name.
Come on, church,
on it.
I said.
There's a healing in
there's
this
a healing,
room, and it's healed for me. There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I said, I'm gonna. Honor.
We give it to you this morning in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Jesus, we bless you this morning. We bless you this morning. We bless you this morning. We glorify you, God. We glorify you because you are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your love for me. I thank you for your love for your children. Jesus. said your love, your love is fierce. Your love is fierce. Hallelujah. Come on, church, bless him this morning. His love is fierce. His love for us is fierce. He runs after us. He gently calls us back. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love that's unconditional. I thank you, God, that you love me when I'm not the easiest man to love. And you continue to call. You continue to pull us. You continue to draw. I thank you, God, that your mercy is new every morning. That your loving kindness doesn't end. You are worthy. I couldn't run from your presence. I couldn't run from your love. I couldn't run from your presence. I couldn't run from your arms. Sing it again.
Couldn't run from your presence. I couldn't run from your
arms. Sing it again. Some days I could try to get away from God, but He continues to draw me. He continues to call me. He continues to search for me. He paid the price for me. He paid a price I could not pay because of His love for me. So I can't run. I can't get away from His love. And Jesus, He loves.
I was covered in shame till He came for me. I couldn't run from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms. I couldn't run, couldn't run from His presence. Couldn't run from His arms. And Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. I said, Jesus, I can't.
be. He loves me. He is for me. Yes, he's for me. Yes, he is. Ooh, it was a fire and deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light. When he called my name, I couldn't run from his presence. I could not. His presence, I couldn't run
from his love.
Oh, Jesus, he loves
me. I said he loves me.
He loves.
Oh, he's for me. Oh, Jesus, how can it be? He loves.
Sing this real soft.
I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run
from his arms.
I couldn't run
from his presence.
I couldn't run.
Sing
it again.
I couldn't run.
Sing it one more time.
It's
real soft.
I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run
from his arms.
No.
Oh, sing this. It's an old Sunday school song. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so.
Little ones to him belong. They are.
Some of you are quite distracted this morning, but you need to experience the love of God. You see, it's easy to become religious. What keeps us out of religiosity is the love of God. So this simple song, I want you all to raise your hands to heaven. I want you to sing it for yourself. This is for you. This is Jesus. He loves you.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible
me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is.
Sing yes.
Oh yes.
Come on.
Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me.
Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Father, thank you that even while we were running from you, God, you love us so much. Lord, today we just say we want to surrender our hearts to you. Jesus, there are so many in the room, God, that are struggling with certain sins, and Lord, they've condemned themselves and bashed themselves and torn themselves down. But today, Jesus, I pray that you'll make an impact that will be everlasting. That is, you love them. You're not abandoning them. You're not leaving them. You love them. Lord, I pray that we'll turn to you not because of fear, but because of love. We love Jesus. One more time.
Jesus loves.
Come on, this is about you. You and Jesus. You and Jesus.
I know for the Bible. Tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me.
Sing it again, yes.
Ooh, yes.
Come on, receive, receive,
Jesus
receive.
Loves
Jesus
me.
Loves you. Jesus loves you.
Ooh, yes.
Jesus loves
my
you.
My Jesus, He loves
Jesus
me.
Jesus loves you.
I said, yes.
Jesus. Time. Sing it again.
Jesus,
I said,
yes. Jesus,
oh, I know He knows me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh,
yes,
Jesus loves me.
Loves you. Isn't it good to know? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know Jesus loves you? You know, you got so many things that disappoint you in the year, so many people that have hurt your feelings, people that said they'd always be there have abandoned you, troubles in marriages, troubles in life. But there's one constant. Jesus loves you. When nobody else seems to care, Jesus loves you.
Yes.
When everything is flying out of hat, and man, you can't seem to put anything in your pocket, Jesus loves you. Amen? Isn't it good to know Jesus loves you? Why don't you go find five or six folks and say, good morning. I've got great news for you. It's called the gospel. Jesus loves you this morning. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody you don't know and tell them Jesus loves you. Thank you. Come on now, don't sit down. Everybody stand up and go find somebody you don't know. You have 48 more seconds to go say hello to somebody.
Directly tied into your success, and we want to see you successful in your Christian walk. I want to introduce you to Next Steps Level 1. You can attend this Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, or Thursday nights for Rock Solid Faith. It is a year-long class that is absolutely life-changing. And then Session 2, Step 2, is marriage, and that's going on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. This will be a series of 8-week classes. We want to encourage you, if you've done Rock Solid Faith, sign up for Step 2. If you haven't got started, get started today. You can go to histabernacle.com and register. You can come right to the hub, or you can email nextsteps@histabernacle for more information.
Hey, HisTab, I've got some exciting news for you. Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth is coming here November 20th. He's doing the 9 a.m. service, the 11 a.m. service, and we're even doing a special service here at 6 p.m. Invite your friends and family and don't miss out.
Good morning, everyone. We want to tell you about the three ways that you can give with a credit card. The first way is using your envelope. This is the brand new giving envelope here at His Tabernacle. If you have an old envelope, throw it away. Use this envelope, fill in the card information completely. We need all of it in order to process your card successfully. The second and easier way to give is using your smartphone. You can go on histabernacle.com, click on Give, and create an online giving profile if you haven't already done so. That way, you can save your card, and you will be able to log in each week and give your tithe in that way without having to fill out an envelope. The third, and by far the easiest way, is text to give. Simply text your amount using a dollar sign to the number on the screen. You'll receive a link back in which you click on it, create your giving profile that way, save your card, and then each week you can simply text your amount using the dollar sign to that number and it'll be all done. It's easy to give with a card at His Tabernacle. Thank you so much for your faithful giving.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? We want to welcome you all here. First service was stacked. I'm talking like stacked with folk. We're excited that you're here. Second, we figured they were here early because they woke up early because fall back. They got an extra hour's sleep. So we're excited that you're here in the house of God this morning. My wife and I want to welcome you from the land to the land of the living. We purchased a new house. We've lived in the same house for 17 years in the town of Big Flats. We moved to the town of Aaron. Anybody ever been to Aaron before? Lord Jesus. And we have no cell phone, no landline, and no internet. We haven't had it for a week. And we're sitting there like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And the moment we come out of the land, we call it the hole. The moment we come out of the hole, our phones go boom, just start exploding with messages all over the place. So prayerfully, by tomorrow, we'll have internet and be able to be communicating. But we're excited to know, it's good to know that we're in the land of the living again. Glory to God. Amen. Pastor Rhonda.
Awesome. I hope you all got a bulletin when you came in because there is so much going on. As you've been out and about shopping, I think you noticed something has changed in the stores. Christmas stuff is up and all the holiday stuff is here. We have Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so we are preparing also for the holidays and all of our outreaches. So please make sure you see Pastor Chad. He has a table out there. Sign up to get involved with the holiday stuff that's going on. And we just want to say a big thank you to everyone that participated with the Harvest Festival. It was a phenomenal time. The His Line Crossers Motorcycle Ministry won the prize. And by the way, it was voted for by kids. I had told my husband earlier that week, if we just bring his bike and let the kids sit on it, we'll definitely win. I knew that was a win. Good job, guys. It was a win. Today, my books are in, and we are going to be giving a set away today in the service. So please make sure right now while we're talking to fill out your connection card. Now, this is not just for ladies. This book was written for both men and women. So the tagline for it is, offense will stop the power of God in your life. So make sure you fill out your connection card, drop it in the offering when it's taken, and we'll be drawing a name out of that. So there will be a winner of the books for today. Pastor.
Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests today. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we want you to know we love you. We care. If you're a first-time guest, we're not going to embarrass you or anything, but if you'll lift your hand, we have a free gift for you this morning. If you're a first-time guest, the young lady over there, very good. She pointed you out. I'm sorry. She threw you under the bus. I felt the thud, thud. Very good. And anybody else over on this side? Young man right there. Couple back there. Young man, young lady back there. Very good. Got all the mugs going out. Glory to God. Good to have you. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being with us. We do encourage you to come at least three times. The first time it's like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Second time it's like, that's not too bad. Third time it's like, yeah, could never go back to the quiet church. We love you. We want you to be here. We want to welcome all of our live stream family as well. All over the world people are watching. Let's give our online family a hand clap. Thank you so much for being with us. We love you. We're glad you're here today. Today is such an awesome day because, again, I just excited. My wife worked so hard on those books, and they're going to be available to help people and build people. But also for being part of the family of God and being in the house of God. How many of you love the house of God? How many of you love the vision? I know you love the house of God. You travel an hour and 20 minutes or 30 minutes? An hour and 20 minutes to church. The Mosses and that whole crew travel an hour to church. Who here travels at least an hour to come to church? Oh, look at the hands go up. Wow. Over there. What? Where? Oh, wow. Oh, that's right. Right. Oh, glory to God. Look at all the folks that travel an hour to church. Can we give them a hand clap and say thank you so much? It always makes me chuckle because we got folks 5 minutes down the road that say, Pastor, I just can't seem to make it. We're ready to receive the offering this morning, and I want to thank you for being faithful givers. I want to remind you that you're not giving to a church, but you're giving to God. The ushers are passing off the envelopes right now. You know what I'd love to see in second service? I'd love to see more people with a burden in the process of giving. And so I want to challenge you, if you are not a tither, to become a tither. The Bible makes a declaration that it has very little to do with money. And I'd like you to turn me real quick to Malachi. That's if you're Italian. Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3. It's a verse that many preachers use as a scare tactic, but I want you to hear this not in scare, because God isn't out to scare you. God loves you. Turn to someone and say, God loves me. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Verse 7 of Malachi chapter 3 says this, "Yet for the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" I want you to understand that tithing has everything to do with your walk with God. What do you mean, Pastor? Money has something to do with my walk with God? Well, the Bible says, what is stronger than the devil is not the devil. How many of you know that the devil is not really that strong? But the Bible says you can't serve both God and mammon. The word there is not the devil. Mammon doesn't mean the devil. The mammon means money. What happens is God has required his church, his body, his family, his children, not as part of the law, but predated the law, that we should give 10% of our increase to the Lord. Now, what's powerful about that is it has everything to do with relationship. What do you mean relationship? The Bible makes this declaration. If you return to me, I'll return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. Which means giving and tithing has a direct connect with our relationship with God. Why is that? Because it's showing that we are not owned by money or things. You see, there's nothing wrong with owning things. God wants you to prosper. Can I hear an amen? But it's when the things own you. When the money controls you, that's when it becomes a bad thing. And so tithing is that declaration. God, you are my source. My job's not my source. My boss is not my source. My government is not my source. There's only one source, and it's you. And today, when we tithe, I want you to make this declaration. When you put your finances in the plate, I want you to say, God, you are my source. And when you do that, I want you to recognize as you start tithing that the Lord, his responsibility is to open the windows of heaven, is to rebuke the devourer. Some would say, Pastor, I don't have enough money to tithe. I've got a statement for you. You don't have enough money not to tithe. Truthfully, what do you mean? Because when you don't tithe, your 90 is cursed along with your 10. But when you tithe that 10% as holy unto the Lord, he then blesses your 90%, and it even goes further than if you had that extra 10. I want you to see tithing always works. This is the one place in the scripture that God says, test me in this way. This is the one place that God says, I'll prove it to you. Don't just say it, I'll prove it to you. So today I challenge you, if you're not a tither, that today you'll make sure that there is no breach in relationship with the Lord, and that money is not your God by tithing. Now, here's a challenge for you. I challenge you to tithe for 2 months if you've never tithed before. And if God's word doesn't work, then stop tithing. Is that fair? I challenge you to tithe for 2 months. If it doesn't work, if God's word doesn't work, then stop tithing. Is that fair? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. For those who are our guests here, what we do is we bring our offering to the Lord. I want to remind you to bring your connection cards, and we're going to draw a name, and we're going to be a blessing, and someone's going to get a set of the books from Pastor Rhonda, all signed and everything, I believe, right? Are they signed already? Nope, they're not. They're not signed, Pastor. They're supposed to be, but they're not. Amen. Are you ready to give? Well, you sound very exciting. I said, are you convinced that God's word is true? I said, are you convinced that God's word is true? Now listen, tithing isn't 5%. Tithing isn't 7%. Tithing isn't 9.6%. Tithing is 10%. That's the word of God, not the word of a church or religion. That's God's word. Are you ready to give? I said, are you ready to give? Then let's make our supernatural proclamation. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching by live stream, we want to remind you, don't be just a taker, be a giver. Now listen, you've been watching each week. This is your church. This is your family. That means God is calling you to tithe here. So make sure that you come and hit that little button that says give. And you saw the announcements earlier. You could actually do it right on your text, text to give. But make sure that you're a tither so that God's blessing can be released in your life.
Deeper than fear, the tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of river crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising.
We we come.
Praise God. Don't you love the worship team? They're so good. They flow so well in the spirit. Hi, beautiful. Praise the Lord. Here we go. We're going to do a giveaway. Who won the books? Loretta Rockhill, where are you? Where is Loretta? Loretta, Loretta, Loretta. Where's Loretta? Hi, Loretta. Congratulations. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. I just felt led to do something here. I really try to be led by the Holy Ghost. I believe that it's God's design. And very rarely, I can probably say in the last 17, maybe 18 years, I've only done it twice. And I really just feel led of the Holy Spirit. If I could have the Mosses come up, please, real quickly. Just felt led of the Holy Spirit, so you better move quickly. There you go. These folks run a ministry in Pennsylvania called His Thousand Hills. How many of you have been to His Thousand Hills before? A great ministry. And they're a phenomenal family. How many children? You got like 16 children, right? How many kids you got? Yeah, how many of your own do you have? You have 4 children of your own. How many of you are almost adopted? Like 10,362,000,000. And they run this ministry, and it's a nonprofit organization, and they're just phenomenal family. They actually travel 1 hour and at least 3 times a week with all the kids. They're here all the time. And I just feel led to do a special offering for His Thousand Hills. Is that all right? I really just feel led of the Holy Spirit to do that. My wife and I are going to give the first 100. And the church is going to give some as well. And I'm going to ask you to be led by the Holy Spirit. Ushers, if you'll just pass out the envelopes. You can make it out to His Tabernacle. We'll give them 1 check. Now you might be saying, well, why isn't he doing it for me? Well, maybe you should be praying. You're never alone. The Holy Ghost tells me I'll do it. But we need to make sure that offerings, here's some envelopes going through the lines right there. Very good. Want to make sure, just make it out to His Tabernacle Family Church. Right now, the men's ministry, they were just there or are still there? They were there this week. The men's ministry were just there this weekend. And it's a tremendous, tremendous ministry. Even before they were there, I almost got fired because of His Thousand Hills. Well, because of what I did there. I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania. I was a youth pastor in Horseheads with a church. And we went down there with our youth group. And the pastor's grandchildren were some of the youth. And they were throwing ice balls at my brand new car. So I told them, don't throw ice balls at my brand new car. They did it anyway. So I picked the kid up, and I gave him a beautiful whitewash that he'll never forget. And the pastor almost fired me when I got home. They discouraged that down at His Thousand Hills. But I just really felt led to do this in the spirit. And I know that as you sow, this is good ground. As you sow, you shall reap. Amen? So if you're ready to give, let's all stand to our feet. Can I have a pail? Brother Terry, quickly. We'll have put it right here in front. Now, why are we doing it right in front of them? I know that they're uncomfortable with this, but I don't really care. Because, honestly, I wouldn't do it if God didn't tell me to. I want you to put your offering in, then I want you to shake their hand and have them release a blessing in your life. Amen? So why don't you come and give. Amen. Come right out of the chair. Go. Thank you. All right, let's let your love be short. Short love today, short love. Short love.
There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well in me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe you've never seen that before, but this is what I do know. Are you ready? I've learned this a long time ago. When God prompts you to do something and you don't do it, you live a horrible afternoon of regret. So I want to thank you all for sowing. We know it's great ground. Amen. And I know I made them uncomfortable. I'm so sorry. Well, not really. But, you know, just it's exciting to be able to give to success. Amen. I love when lives change and God brings change in even locations, and that's a place of retreat, and I'll call it advance, that you can go and get refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 3. Molly, we want to welcome you and your new baby. Amen. New babies in the house. We got a lot of new babies, a lot of ladies with babies that are carrying. Kayla's carrying. The Ebo family's carrying. The Dykes family's carrying. Oh, they're not. I'm sorry. Who? Oh, that's right. The Spencer family's carrying. Let me see. Who else is pregnant in the house? Are you pregnant in the back? Oh, wow. Amen. DJ, you're pregnant? Anybody else? Oh, there you go. Very good. Another baby in the house. Oh, where's that? I see a hand. Everybody's pointing. Where? Another baby in the house. Very good. Very good. Wow, we're going to have to open a new nursery. Isn't that exciting? I love it. I love growing the kingdom one baby at a time, but it's exciting. My wife is not pregnant. Glory to God. Amen. This is the year of kingdom seed. I love the fact that God's kingdom is coming. How do I know? Well, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. If you're born again, shout, I am. If you're born again, the kingdom of God is resident already within you. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a place. What do you mean a place? You see, you cannot have a king without a kingdom. In God's kingdom come, his will be done. You see, God's design is that you and I, as believers, are living in kingdom principles. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are kingdom people. We are not church people. We are kingdom people. We are people that believe that the word of God is yea and amen, that the constitution of the kingdom is what governs our lives, not the world that we live in. Thank God we live here, but we're here to occupy until he comes. But we are motivated. We are given the directive, not by this world system, but by the kingdom of God. You're rough from this morning. Here we go. You got even extra sleep. That's better. Hallelujah. You see, today I want to talk to you about this simple factor. I want to kill a religious cow in the room. How does that sound? What's a religious cow? A religious cow is how so many people have been brought up in Christianity and have been taught something that's just not true. And I want to slaughter the beast. I want you to understand how blessed and how God wants to prosper your life. You see, God desires to, shout it out loud with me, God desires to, no, I want you to say that with me. God desires to, say it one more time, God desires to. This is what I want to get to this morning, is that God has a desire to bless you. You see, so many of us live a lifestyle where God in his mentality and our concept of who he is so warped and twisted that we don't truly believe that God wants to bless us. We live a mentality that is anti-scripture, that is anti-Christ. The Bible makes the declaration, have this mind that is in you that was in Christ Jesus. The word of God declares, you have the mind of Christ. You see, when we understand kingdom principles, then we understand that everything we do comes from a seed. We already know, we've talked about it this whole year, how everything comes from a seed, how our thoughts produce seed, and it literally transforms physically in your brain to where it either kills you or brings life. Your words are seed. Everything you say, life and death are in the power of the tongue. We talked about how even you and I move with our time is seed. How we sow our time determines the results that we're going to have. We've talked about how money is seed. Oh, we haven't talked about that. Maybe someday soon. Money is seed. How you sow your finances is how you're going to reap in your finances. We've talked about seed all year long. Yet so many people still don't get it. We still don't understand that we have a compilation of the seeds that we have set, that we have placed in the ground, and that we expect a harvest. But if we want the harvest of heaven, we've got to plant the seeds of God. All right, we're going to do sections. It's been a long time. You're my hallelujah section. You ready? Let's practice. All the way back. That is so sad. Let's practice real loud. One more. One, two, three. It's a little bit better. Nobody in the back. Everybody in the back section is going like this. Ready? One, two, three. You're my glory section. You're in the middle. You ready? Everybody? One more time. Now, far back, you're going to be my hallelujah section. Did I already do hallelujah? Huh? Did I? You're my praise God section. You ready? Here we go. Wow, that was so sad. I know you yelled at your children louder than that. Are you ready? You're going to be my oh my section. Oh my. Here we go. So sad. Praise God. All right, we're going to practice one more time now. I haven't had to do these sections in a lot of years. It means you're going Baptist on me. Here we go, one more time. Ready? I love the oh my section. That's my favorite section, you know what I mean? So you and I, God wants us to grab a hold of a concept in destroying a religious mentality. God desires to bless you. God desires to prosper you. I'm going to call it the KISS rule. How many of you ever called it the KISS rule before? What is that? Keep it simple. Turn to someone and say, I'm not stupid. That's right. So we're going to call the KISS rule, keep it simple, saint. All right? Keep it simple, saint. We need to keep this thing simple. God's not that difficult. God wants to prosper you and bless you. God wants and desires that you would be blessed in all areas of your life. The Bible makes a declaration in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. You should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Thank God. That's what I said. Amen. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 145, verse 8 and 9. The Bible makes a declaration. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. How many of you are glad God is slow to anger? Slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. You see, today when we talk about God giving and God blessing, so many of us have the mentality that we have to, when trouble comes our way, we have to try to convince God to move in our behalf. So many sit back and say, God, well, you know, I really need this in my life. I really need you to do this for me. God, I really need your help. Lord, will you help me? And we ask God, Lord, will you work on my behalf? You see, I want you to see something this morning through the Word of God, that God is full of compassion. God is full of mercy. And you don't need to convince God to want to bless you. God desires to bless you. God desires to pour out his love in your life. God desires to bring forgiveness in your life. God desires to restore your life. God desires to bring healing to your life. God desires to. And we've got to get out of the mentality of trying to convince God to do what he really wants already to do. Well, Pastor, maybe if I pray longer, maybe if I fast, Pastor, if I fast my cell phone for 3 days, I haven't been fasting it, but that's what we did. I want you to know that's horrible. Maybe if I fast, Pastor, God will move on my behalf. Oh, Pastor, well, you know, God, if you do this, then I'll do this. And we get into this desperate mode of begging God. And I want you to recognize something so very clearly. That is never, has never been how God wants you to get heaven to earth. God has a plan, and God's put it in his constitution. God's placed it in his kingdom on how to bring heaven to earth. And so many of us have lived this old religious lifestyle of maybe if I'm good enough, God will bless me. Maybe if I jump through six hoops backwards and somersault over the last one, that God, I'll finally be approved and he'll move in my life. I want you to know today, if you're born again, you are a child of the living God. If you're born again, shout amen. I said, if you're born again, shout amen. Amen. See, when you're born again, you change from the old life to the new. You have an old father, but now you have a new father. And the blood that Jesus has shed on Calvary's tree was so that you and I would have a relationship with the living God. It's time to get out of the begging scene, trying to convince God, and realize he wants to bless you. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And this is what he said. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, when you're in a position when you're asking God for something in your life, one of the very first things you do is simple. And that is you start recognizing who he is. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When you start to acknowledge God, when you start to praise God, when you start to worship God, he says that I inhabit the very praises of my people. Man, when you need something from the Lord, you need to recognize that he needs to be present where you're needing him. That means you need to recognize him. You need to acknowledge him. You need to worship him. And when his presence comes into that place, it's so simple. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, you and I are called kingdom people, where we don't live by this world. We walk by faith and not by sight. How literally, without any question in our heart, we literally can trump facts with the truth of the Word of God. And when we do that, we do it God's way. And this is how it works. We start to worship him. And when we're in his presence, man, you start recognizing the fullness of God's power. You start recognizing his love. One thing that God does is he loves you. God so desperately loves you. He desires for you to experience his love. You see, you can scare the hell out of somebody, but they can't get the hell out of them until they recognize how much Jesus loves them. It's the love of God that holds them firm. Romans makes the declaration that perfect love, that's John. Perfect love casts out all fear. God wants you and I to recognize that his love is so powerful and he loves you today. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. You see, never before have we ever had to sit back and twist God to try to make him to do something. This is the mindset of how people think in Christianity, especially when they're in trouble. But I want to be like Jesus. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Jesus learned and understood that when he knew the will of the Father, that there was no question that it was going to be accomplished. You see, you can have a confidence in God, and that comes through your relationship with God, that no matter what your need is, you can recognize that God desires to meet your need. God desires to bless you. God desires to heal you. God desires to deliver you. God desires to save you. God desires to replace you and replace the joy of the Lord that has been lost by this world's turmoil. God wants you to recognize that no matter what you need, he is able to perform. You know, in that prayer that Jesus taught them, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." You see, here's one of the keys. You've got to know the will of God. You've got to know God's will. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15 says this, that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and the answer is already on the way. You see, many of us get in this place where we beg, where we plead, where we try to twist God, convince God to do something in our lives because we're really not sure whether it's God's design or desire for us or not. But I want you to know that if you know, listen now, I've told this story many times in Rock Solid Faith, but when my kids were young, Cody was about 5 and Chad was 4. We lived in a town called Newfield. Everybody knows where Newfield is. And we lived in a split-level home. And the Newfield covered bridge was just down the road. And one day, I was going to go to the covered bridge. And my kids said to me, my two boys said, "Daddy, we want a lollipop with bubble gum inside." And I said, "Okay, I'll go get it." And so I went to the covered bridge. And I grabbed two of the blow pops and bought them and brought them home. I opened the front door of the house, and all of a sudden, I see both of them at the top of the stairs like this. Their hands were out. They didn't have to say to me, "Oh, Daddy, please, please, did you get me one? Daddy, did you get me one? Oh, I hope you got me one. Oh, Daddy, you know, if I clean my room, will you bring me one?" No. You see, they understood that because I'm a good father, Jesus, come on now. Because I'm a good father, they recognize that if Daddy said he was going to do something, they didn't need to convince him. If he said he was already going to do it, they just needed to be in receiving mode and accept what was already accomplished. You see, before I ever walked in that door, I had already bought the blow pops. Before I had ever opened the door and their receiving was available, I had already bought them. And all they had to do was receive them. You see, there's a mentality in the body of Christ of having to try to convince God to do what he already wants to do in our lives. And that's just simply warped. If it's God's will, you don't have to try to manipulate him to move on your behalf. He's already done it. Jesus already accomplished it. He's not going to go back on the cross. He's not going to raise again from the dead. It's already been done. The finished work of Christ is accomplished. The covenant has been cut. And every promise in the book is yea and amen according to the word of God. And we don't need to beg. We don't need to plead. We just need to accept by faith, knowing that if Daddy said it, it's already done. You see, when we start living in this, we start understanding who our Father is. There's a woman named Fuchsia Pickett. How many of you remember Fuchsia Pickett? Fuchsia Pickett, man, when we met her, she was in her 80s. And she's sitting there talking to us across the table at supper, and she's saying, "Well, my dad and my dad this and my dad that," and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm calculating in my head, that's an old dude. If she's in her 80s, he's probably over 100 years old. And then I came to a quick realization, and that was this. She wasn't talking about her natural father. She was talking about her heavenly father. She had such an intimacy with God. She had such a relationship with God. She had such a knowing with God. She knew him. She walked with him. And I'd already been pastoring probably 6 or 7 years. I came to a quick epiphany, and that was, I do not know God enough. I want to know him like Fuchsia Pickett knows him. I want to understand him and walk with him and talk with him like she does. I want a relationship with the Father. And one thing you're going to find, the closer you get to God, is that God, our Father, desires to bless us, not curse us. Psalms 145, verse 8 says this, the Lord is gracious and full. Everybody shout full. That wasn't a shout. I said shout full. They're right on the ball. Sorry. Didn't mean to wake you. All right. The word gracious here, the Lord is gracious. You know what that word means? It means he's kind. How many of you have ever met a kind person? You get near them, man, and your face just starts to burst. You know that if you ask for the shirt on their back, they're going to give it to you. Just out of the kindness of their heart. You know the very personality of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness. God is kind. God loves to be gracious to you. He loves to show you favor. He wants you to know and recognize that he's not against you. He's not waiting with a big hammer, waiting to smash your brains in if you make a mistake. He loves you with an everlasting love. God can love you no more today than when you were lost and dying in sin. He loves you and I no more today than those that are trying to kill people, even overseas. It's time for you and I to recognize that the love of God is yea and amen, and that his favor is for his sons and his daughters. And today, God is gracious to you. He loves to bless you. The word compassion there means this, the showing of kindness. You know, there's one thing for someone to say, well, you know, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're going through a hard time in life, and you walk up to somebody and you tell them, you know, I'm struggling in my life, and they look at you and go, oh, I'm so sad for you. Well, you know, I'm sorry. They show you sympathy. But I want you to know today that your God is not a God of sympathy. He is a God of compassion. And part of the word of compassion is action. Whenever God sees something in your life that is out of order, when you and I call upon the name of the Lord, when you and I need Jesus to show up in our lives, the compassion of God, the very mercy of God, the very nature of our Father is that he wants to touch you as a mom is holding the baby, even as Molly's holding the new baby over here. If that baby cries, you know Molly's going to try to bring comfort to that child. If the baby's hungry, Molly's going to bring food to that child. You see, this is who our Father is. He is like, he said, I'm like a hen and I want to gather my chicks, but you would not. God loves you and wants to cuddle you and take care of you. He is a compassionate, merciful. He is a God that is gracious. He is not this horrible freak God waiting to smash you to death. Jesus loves me, this I know. I love that Pastor David sang that song. Because this is what people are missing. I remember in Bible college praying to see hell. Because I figured if I could see hell, I'd be more driven to save the lost. There was another girl who, back in my Bible school, girls and guys weren't allowed to sit in the same side of the sanctuary. So the girls were separated. What are you laughing at? So here we were, this girl is a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and all of a sudden we hear this god-awful scream. I'm talking like blood-curdling scream. Well, I was a little freaked out. Everybody stopped praying, and we finally figured out what was going on. She had been praying the same thing, and God showed her. For about 10 seconds, she saw what hell was going to look like, smelled what hell was going to smell like, and she prayed immediately. She screamed because it freaked her out. But second, she asked for God to take that away. Never wanted to see it again. We had a lady in our church who had died. What was her name, Pastor Dan? Sally Keenan. She died, this is many, many years ago. She died, was declared dead by the doctors for over 20 minutes. They were actually packing her in ice and taking out the last of all the stuff so they could send her to the morgue. And the Lord sent her back. But what happened was God sent her. She was in heaven for a moment with Christ. And Christ walked her over to this hole. And out of this pit, she said, I could see arms trying to reach out and grab their way out. And all I could smell was the burning of flesh and a sulfur smell and the screams and the fire that were below. She said, I was just freaked out. She said, and the Lord sent me back and said, tell as many people as possible, Sally, so that they don't have to go here. She's led thousands to Christ just herself. I was praying, God, let me see. And after I heard what the girl did, I said, that's all right. I don't need to see that. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, you don't need to see, you don't need to be scared. I want you to truly understand how much I love you. For if you understand how much I love you, then you won't have to be scared by me. When you understand how much I love people, then you'll understand that no matter what is in front of you, I'm able to perform because I'm your father, I'm your daddy, and I want to take care of you. I'm not here to destroy you, I'm here to build you. I'm not here to tear you down, I'm here to build you up. I'm not here to make you survive, I'm here to become abundant, because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. It's the devil's come to destroy your life. The devil's come to steal from your life. He's the enemy of your soul, but God is good. I can't hear you. I said, God is good. I'm almost done. You see, God longs to release his will in your life. He longs to release heaven's blessing that will trump your facts. You don't need to convince him. You don't need to beg him. You don't need to barter with him. He wants to. You know, if I needed something, Nick, come on over here. If I needed something from Nick, what do you got? You got anything? You got yourself, I'll take that. So, hold on, I need a cell phone. So, I walk up to Nick, and I say, Nick, can I borrow your cell phone? Nick, please, please, can I borrow your cell phone? Please, Nick, please, I need your cell phone. Will you please let me use your cell phone? Nick, no, really. No, Nick, please, let me borrow it. Is this how so many of us pray? Nick, can I borrow? Oh, thank you. It's ringing, by the way. Hi, Nick's in church right now. Don't bother him. Do you see what I mean? I mean, we've got God ready to bless us, ready to give us what we've asked. For if we ask in faith, he said, listen, all you need is the faith of a seed of a mustard. It's not a lot of faith. God just wants us to ask and to know. But when you know his will, you can stand firm on his design. You can stand firm in his desire. You don't need to beg him, plead with him, try to manipulate him. Because Jesus, God, is so compassionate to you. God is moved by love. We know the verse, 1 John. God is love. The very nature of God is love. Listen, you can see this through Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Do you remember Jesus? How many of you remember Jesus? You're a little slow. Thank you very much. How many of you love Jesus? No, stay with your section. How many of you love Jesus? I feel God in this place. Here's Jesus. Ready? I want to prove to you Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. His compassion, listen, compassion always demands movement. Well, I love people. You're a liar. What do you mean, Pastor? I love people. You're a liar. Why? Because you only take care of yourself and nobody else. Well, Pastor, I love God. You're a liar. You don't spend any time with him during the week. It takes four men and three boys to get you to church on a Sunday morning. Listen, true love always has action behind it. If I tell my wife I love her and have no action of love, then truthfully, I'm a liar. And you see, God is not a liar. When God says he loves us, he's showing us that he desires to bless us. He desires to meet our needs. When Jesus had compassion upon the crowd, he said, I was moved with compassion. The movement of God demanded him to start teaching kingdom principles that would pull the people out of this planet and into the world to come. You see, Christ was moved. Whenever Christ is moved, there will always be a supernatural manifestation of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. The compassion of God, the compassion of Jesus healed the leper that everybody else gave up on. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Compassion demands the healing of the sick. Luke chapter 7, 13 and 14, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, do not weep, for he came and touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood up and stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the boy raised. You see, Christ's compassion will even raise somebody from the dead that everybody else has given up on. Jesus makes the declaration, I am the resurrection and the life. Today, you and I are not serving a God whose hand is short, who's far off and is not listening. He is passionate to bless you. He is passionate to meet your desire. And when you and I have the will of God being maxed in our lives, then we know this, that what we ask, we shall receive. Today, it's time to recognize that your daddy is a good God. He's not a bad God. He's a good God. And he truly, genuinely loves us, even in our mess. God loves us even in our best. Because let's be honest, how many of you got a mess? Some of you thought God gave up on you. God can't give up on you. He has compassion to you. He loves us in our mess. He sees us already out of our mess. He believes through the power of heaven, through the power of the kingdom, that heaven can come and dismantle the mess. God, by his power, desires to be active in your life. You see, true faith is active. True faith is motion. True faith is giving. True faith is something that is going to bring the supernatural to the natural world, because I'm calling those things which are not as though they already are. It's time to recognize that God desires to bless you. He longs to love you with passionate action. You need to hear that. That is one you need to chew. God loves to bless you with passionate action. What does that mean? That means this. God cannot do it quick enough. God cannot be moved fast enough to bless you with the passion that he has, that will bring action to your life, that will bring you to a place of prosperity and blessing in every area that you possess, whether it be in your health, whether it be in your wealth, or whether it be in your family. God wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people, and this demands you and I to receive by faith. So the first thing you got to purge is that God is not for me. I see it all the time. People ask me to pray with them. Pastor, will you pray for this? And when they ask me to pray, it's almost like depressing. Will you pray with me? What do you mean? You don't get it, do you? What do you mean pray with you? It should be, hey, pastor, will you agree with me? Because I know where two touch one thing, it shall be done. And I know the will of God. The will of God is that I have this. The will of God is that I'm healed. The will of God is that I'm delivered. The will of God is that I'm blessed. The will of God is that I have the job. The will of God is that I have the house. The will of God, God wants you blessed. When you understand who you are, when you understand God's will, you cannot pray with your head down. You put your shoulders back and you call unto heaven in the name of Jesus with that mustard seed faith. And you call those things which are not as though they already are. Why? Because God desires. He longs to bless you. He's a good, good father. And we've got to banish this foolish, diabolical, anti-Christ mindset that God, well, he's up there and I'm down here and I'm surviving and just making it by. Because if you don't do that, you're disconnecting yourself from God's blessing in your life. He is full of compassion. He is gracious, brings favor in our lives. He is full and he has great mercy. And he desires to pour it out on his kids. So if you're his child this morning, we need to have a mind change. And the mind changes from religion, jumping through hoops, to relationship with a king that loves us so desperately, that can't wait to move on our behalf, that when we step out in faith and call those things which are not, that all of a sudden heaven will start to shift the things that are facts on this planet. And now God is starting to manifest his love towards us. I'm not talking like he loves me. That's a nice little cliche. I'm talking his love. All love demands action. All love demands manifestation. All love, and especially passionate love, will always bring the relative opportunity for answer in your life. God is able. But he's not just able. He's willing. How many of you got needs in your life, man? They're serious needs. And you just keep asking God, God, will you do this? God, please help me. And he's already handed it to you. He's not going to do any more. He did it on Calvary. He's already accomplished it. He died. He rose from the dead. He took the keys of death and hell from the devil. He's already given us victory in the name of his son, Jesus. There's nothing that we cannot accomplish. I'm made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am more, not just. So why do we live this way? Always begging God. It gets down to relationship. You see, Jesus never once, when he prayed for somebody, never once begged God. He never once said, oh God, if it be your will. He only prayed that in the garden over himself. And he already knew the will of God. Jesus didn't run around hoping it was going to work. How could he pray in faith? Because he knew the will of the Father. So every time he prayed, he knew there was going to be a manifestation. Not just, wow, I saw the power of, no. You see, Jesus saw Father different than you and I. The power is no big deal. What is mesmerizing is the love. What is mesmerizing is the compassion. What is mesmerizing is that the God of heaven, who said, let there be and there was, cares so much about you and I, loves us so much that he thinks about the situation that we're in. That he cares enough to bring an answer what man can accomplish. The Creator loves you. Man, baby, if you don't feel special, then you need a full revelation of how special you are. The God of heaven loves you. Bow your head with me this morning. Some of you are just starting to get this. You went to church because you've always gone to church, and you've done what was right because you've always had to seem to do what's right. Today, I just want to encourage you that your Father cares about your very situation, and he cares about your need. He's compassionate towards you. And because he's compassionate, that means there'll be action to accomplish it. today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the greatest loss that you have is the relationship that He has for you. And that the passion of God is separated from you. Oh, I thought God loved everyone. God loves everyone. God loves everyone. But not everyone's His child. The Bible makes a declaration, only by the blood of Jesus can you be saved. There's no other name under heaven which all you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. You see, you cannot be a child of God unless you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Until you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not one of His kids. Which means you don't get the benefit of the kingdom. So today I want to give you an opportunity to become right with God. Two ladies already did in the morning service. During the week, young people do. And during the week, young adults do. Teenagers do. But today I'm speaking to you because God is here for your life. Because you're important to Him and He loves you. He's got a great plan for you and a great purpose for you. And God wants to bless you. But today, if you don't know Him, He can't bless you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want Him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm going to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young lady. Very good. You can put your hands right back down, all those three right there. Anybody else this morning? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. Very good. See your hand as well. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call. And thank you very much. Back there. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. You see, today you have a good, good Father. And He loves you desperately. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front. If you're going through a situation in your life, trouble in your life, and you just need someone to pray with you, 2, agreeing in faith, touching one thing, will always bring transformation. Whenever it's the will of God, you know that God will automatically, because of His compassion, bring shifting to that situation. I want to invite all of those that raise their hand for salvation, if you'll meet me right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Come on, grab somebody. Grab me. Meet me right up here, right now. Right now, right now, right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. Thank you all so much. Can we give them a hand clap this morning? They're going to have their lives changed forever. In American churches right now, less than one soul is saved a year. In this house, that will never be.
Amen.
This is a soul-winning church. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We will see lives transformed. You know what happens? Is we had a man leave this church, and he went down to another one, and he was there for 3 months, and he came back. And he came back, and he said this, Pastor, no one got saved in 3 months. So he went to the pastor and he said, Pastor, how come you've not even given an altar call? He said, because I know everyone here is saved. You know something? When you only have saved people in the house and no new blood coming in, you're a dying church. You got to have new babies, like Molly's baby, like all the babies that are coming. You got to have new life. New life is the children of God and everybody growing up in Christ. Turn to someone and say, it's time to grow up in Christ. Amen. I love you. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, I know that God is going to move on your behalf. Be blessed. Invite at least one soul to the house of God next week. God will change your life. Make sure you pray with the understanding.